This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Christ. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. The Gospel of the Lord.
As I mentioned earlier, we have a special guest with us today, Onesimus Asimwe. Onesimus and I first met many years ago in Kampala, and he was serving as the chaplain to our good friend and Archbishop Henry Arambi. And then we just stayed in touch over the years, and he became the pastor 5 years ago of St. Francis Chapel in Kampala, which is our partner church in Uganda that we do work with up in the northern part of the country in Gulu. And he only has one more week to be the pastor at St. Francis. He's literally flying back Tuesday and Wednesday, and then on Sunday is his last Sunday because he's going to be a bishop. He was just elected bishop of the Diocese of Northern Kigezi. And if you don't believe me, there. Does he look like a bishop? Yes, he does. So we are just really glad that Onesimus has come all this way to be with us. He was here in October of 2019, but it's so good to have you back, my friend, my brother, Onesimus Asimwe.
Thank you. Thank you, and thanks to my brother, Patrick, for the warm introduction and warm welcome. It's good to be back, and I bring greetings to you from my wife. I'm married to only one wife, because that's the only one I can manage. Her name is Florence, and God has blessed us with three children, David, Marjorie, and Ruth, in descending order. And Marjorie is married to that young man standing next to her. They all bring their they send their love and greetings to you. And I thank God for the way you have been supporting me and our ministry at St. Francis Chapel, Makerere University. We have been very strong partners in mission and in ministry. And the vestments you saw in the picture that I was trying on are a gift from you. So thank you very much for your love and support. And I pray that this link will be even strengthened the more, even when I'm gone. Well, let us pray. Father, thank you for giving us an opportunity to sit at your feet and learn from you. And we pray that you would speak to us through your word in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The temptation of Jesus. Jesus, who was and who is God, went through a very tough time of temptation. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. And as man, he went through temptation. So this is what we are reflecting on. And you heard the gospel of Matthew chapter 4. And in verse 1, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And you would wonder why God would allow his son to get into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. But this temptation was necessary to prove that indeed Jesus was the Messiah and he had been given a messianic purpose. And Satan now follows him in the wilderness, in a place that is lonely, a place that was desolate. And when you read the Old Testament, you get to understand that the wilderness was a very dangerous place because wild animals lived there. We read that in Isaiah chapter 13 from verse 20, and also chapter 34 from verse 8 and the following verses. And to be tempted means that you're put to the test and to see what good or evil, what strength or weakness does exist in a person. So Jesus is tempted by Satan, and Satan is particularly interested in testing the power of Jesus and his authority as the Son of God. And throughout the temptations, there were three, Jesus overcame. Jesus never gave in. And thank God he didn't, because if he had, then would have been deprived of the opportunity for eternity. It is important that we know the enemy and his ways, his methods of tempting God's people. And everyone who is a follower of the Lord, anyone who obeys the Lord and follows his word and precepts will be tempted by the devil. Interestingly, the methods that the enemy used to tempt Eve in the garden, to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, those methods haven't changed. He still deploys them up to today. And that's why it is important that we prepare ourselves, especially in this Lenten season, for the temptations that lie ahead of us. Now, you and I have no idea what kind of temptation we'll go through, but we will. Believe you me, we will be tempted. So we need to equip ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves for the tasks ahead. And Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And that number 40 brings to mind the 40 days of rain in the great flood of Noah, Genesis 7, verse 17. The 40 days Moses spent on Mount Sinai. The 40 years of Israel's wandering in the wilderness. The 40 days of Goliath's taunting of Israel prior to David's victory. And it also brings to mind the 40 days of Elijah's time of fear in the wilderness. You may wonder why 40. So that gives a little bit of the background. And in all these situations, God was preparing his people for special tasks. For the last 5 years, as St. Francis Chapel, we were observing this season of Lent, and we were fasting and praying corporately. and literally going without food, at least having one meal in a day. Because you see, fasting has also the aspect of discipline. I gather the word disciple comes from the root word discipline. It is that time when you deliberately and intentionally decide to forfeit food. I'm told some people say, I will fast television, I'll fast, you know, social media. But it has to do with abstaining from food. In fact, the original word, Hebrew word, is TS transliterated, TSWN, tsum, which means to close one's mouth. So, and it's not for certain gifted people. Somebody may say, oh, well, I think the senior pastor has the gift of fasting. It is for all of us. In chapter 5, when you read on, Jesus told his disciples, when you fast, there are three whens. When you give, you know, when you pray, and when you fast. In other words, Jesus expected his disciples to fast. He didn't say, if you fast. He said, when you fast. Do not be like the hypocrites. So may God challenge somebody to try it out. And I can assure you it has great benefits. I know that some of us only manage to fast in between meals. And it's in the morning when you break the fast. I think that's why you call it breakfast. Now, you will notice that the enemy targeted Jesus on the weak spots, the weak points. The three temptations recorded here occurred when Jesus was at his most physically weakened state. He had fasted for 40 days, and so he was famished. And the enemy will try to come to us on such weak points of life. The devil often comes when we are at our weakest point in life, under physical or emotional stress. For example, when you are lonely, when you are idle. You remember the adage, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. When you are tired, when you are weighing big decisions or faced with uncertainty. And of course, we have all had a share of very tough times of loneliness and hostility, especially during the time of the pandemic. But the enemy will also come to us and will try to tempt us through our strength, where we are most susceptible to pride. And so we need to guard ourselves against his attacks by, first of all, starting your day with prayer, by building our attitudes around the scriptures, and depending on God's Holy Spirit to guide us through these times. And so the enemy comes and says, if you are the Son of God, because you see, you are now hungry, turn these stones into bread. The first temptation in the Garden of Eden was food. And it's not surprising that the first temptation of Jesus in the wilderness was also food. Somebody has said, if you can overcome the temptation of food, then you can overcome any other temptation. My friend Joel has really led me into temptation for the last 2 days. Satan did not doubt the sonship of Jesus. No, he knew. He knew who Jesus was. He never doubted his authority. But what he's trying to do is to try and tempt Jesus to use his position to meet his own needs. Because you see, in later miracles, Jesus multiplied bread to feed thousands of hungry people. So it was not about his authority, but can I engage you now to obey me rather than God? And he uses a point of his normal desire. And we too may be tempted to satisfy our normal desire in the wrong way or at the wrong time. For example, and I tell young people in Uganda, you know, why do you behave as though by the time you get married, the parliament of Uganda will have passed a law prohibiting sex in marriage? You know, they can't afford to do without sex. Premarital sex. Because the enemy will say, well, your body needs sex. And here is somebody who can provide it. There's a young lady who came to me and said, Uncle O, as they fondly call me in Uganda, she said, my body is desiring sex. And then she used an illustration. She said, have you ever felt like your back is itching and you can't reach there? You know, you want to scratch yourself, but you can't reach there? I said, yes, I have. She said, that's how I'm feeling right now. And she's telling me, as though to say, you have the solution. So, I overcame. The good news is that I overcame. If you were Ugandans, you would have clapped to the Lord. But I overcame, hallelujah. And so, the enemy provides. He says, you're hungry. Your body needs food. And he will come with such presentations. And he will provide a solution. But Jesus is quick to respond. He doesn't want to engage with Satan in a conversation. No, 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 no. He hits back and says, it is written. It is written. It's good that Jesus, who is the Word anyway, knew the right response. And that is the message I pass on to you. The only way to overcome the temptations of the enemy is to be equipped with the Word of God. Because Jesus saw his schemes, and that was the only way of overcoming. Now, the second temptation is the same. If you are the Son of God, testing his authority, testing his power, the answer is the same. It is written. The third temptation is the same. Again, the enemy takes him to a very high mountain and shows him the kingdoms and says, if you will fall down and worship me, thank you for worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the music was fantastic. Fantastic. So Jesus again challenges him with a scripture. And what a sobering thought that Satan knows scripture and knows how to use it for his own purpose. And sometimes friends or associates will present attractive and convincing reasons why you should try some things which you know are wrong, and we'll try to back it up with scripture. May the Lord help you to get equipped with his word. And so, in conclusion, please note that there are usually those three areas of temptation, and they are summarized in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Satan says, turn these stones into bread. And he tells Eve, the fruit is good for you to taste. the lust of the flesh. Prove his divine sonship. You know, gain wisdom so as to be like God. The pride of life. Obtain all that you can see. Look at the fruit and see how nice and tasty it must be. The lust of the eyes. The devil's temptation focused on those three main areas: the physical needs and desires, possessions and power, and pride. And those same temptations still come our way. But we thank God who gives us victory. And where do we get our victory from? We get our victory from Jesus, who was tempted in every way, but never yielded to any temptation. You see, there's nothing wrong by being tempted, you see, but there's everything wrong when you fall into temptation. But thank God that we can come to Jesus, the one who overcame, to give us that same victory in our Christian lives. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord give you victory on a daily basis as you walk your Christian journey, and to him alone be the glory. Amen.